And we're back here once again with another episode of the Iron Man Podcast, episode 406 with Infinitale Chronicles. Once again, this is going to be his second appearance on the show. And I always recommend for any of my second, third, fourth, fifth appearances for any of my one-on-one shows I have with people, go and check out their first appearances. That way you can always get, like, you know, origin stories and all that stuff. So that way, you know, we're not like, you know, superhero movies where they constantly have to keep doing them, actually. So, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing okay. enjoying that Transformers trailer and Fallout.
This man said he enjoyed the Transformers trailer. He might actually just be on crack.
Let me tell you something.
God, man. Well, the mainstream media, you know, obviously is making some interesting stuff. Let's just say that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, recently people have said the Fallout show is not that bad, but I was never into Fallout. So, I mean, that I can't really be the judge of that. I haven't heard that much bad about X-Men 97. Like, I thought that was going to be a steaming pile of shit. Like, I was going to say, if you can't get X-Men right, just sell fucking Marvel away. Like, if you like can't get X-Men right, come on, we just... Let's stop pretending. You're just sell the whole fucking company at this point, you know.
I honestly, as bitter as I am with modern offering and media, I actually have been enjoying the X-Men 97.
That's all I wanted. You know, that's all I wanted was it to be a decent, good outing. Because, like, obviously, X-Men is probably even like just as arguably as popular as Spider-Man. Like, if X-Men is not good, like that's really bad. Actually, you know.
Yeah, you got to try to ruin that one.
You know, so, and it shows that they can make good stuff. Like, there's still some hope that they can make some good stuff. They're just, I feel like they're in this, like, long whore phase, you know? Like, you know how girls go through, like, whore phases?
Yeah.
And they're like, college. I'm going to go just suck dick for a while. And it's like, all right, okay. Like, they're like right in there in that horror phase for a little bit. And it's like, okay, maybe when they actually have just no money just in general, they'll just, you know, stop doing this actually. But let's start with Infinitale Chronicles. Let's start with that book, the second book you're going to be making. That's going to start its Kickstarter or Indiegogo campaign very soon, right?
Yeah, well, I'm hoping to get it done by the end of the summer to coincide with in September, I'm going to be going to my first Comic-Con. So I got my first artist alley table. So I'm hoping to have some product.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm super stoked. I've like when I worked in the video game industry, I was shilling other people's stuff. So it wasn't as like nerve wracking. Now it's literally me at a table and people walking up to me saying, "Your stuff sucks." Like, I can't do anything about it. but yeah, I'm hoping by the end of the summer we can kick off the campaign and, you know, get these books in people's hands. I've had some great feedback. I've had some preview copies sent out, and some of the feedback's been hilarious. People are like, "Oh shit."
Oh, you had my criticism. Okay. This turns out you can take criticism. I heard a lot of people can't take that and they just start spurging out, you know? No, guys, I'm joking. That people are internet are retarded. They just start making shit up in their brains. I swear, like, on the internet, someone can see something happening, see it's actually not the case, and then still in their brain, cognitive dissonance can't process the information properly. Something in their brain cannot function. That I think that's the reason why there's a lot of like problems with indie people is because their brains are just so functioning off of cognitive dissonance that they can't even accept that things could be a little bit more different with a person. It's just, no, it has to be this way. This person is my sworn enemy. And it's like, okay, all right, fucking hell, man.
Yeah. Well, that it's weird because like that's what turned me off from the mainstream stuff was that like every one of my hobbies basically got hijacked and I was told that I'm no longer the customer and that, you know, I'm terrible and I need to leave the hobby or whatever. So I'm like, okay, fine. And I left and I took my money with me. I went into the indie stuff and, you know, I've been fortunate. There's been a lot of really cool indie people and I've been really happy to stay the hell away from, you know, what is it? When the elephants fight, the grass gets trampled. You know, I'm just like, you guys fight over there, you know, I'll be over here trying to make my book.
It's one of those like I saw a video yesterday where like an elephant from a circus got out and it started walking in the street. You're just like, oh, an elephant. Yeah, I'll just back the fuck up from that.
Yeah.
I don't die, you know?
Yeah, if the tusks aren't enough, man. Imagine getting stepped on by one of those things.
Good Lord. Just getting kicked. Yeah. Your ribs would be broken for like 2 months, they said. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to have my broken ribs, you know?
Yeah.
So it's been really wild in the indie comic scene, I would say. Yeah, just so many just shit opinions. I never knew how bad opinions were until I started talking to artists. I swear, artists are legitimately weird people. Like, actually just straight up not normal people, to the point where their brains are not processing normal ways people do things. That they actually think that the way that they're doing things is like somehow the normal way. And it's like, dude, you are a fucking weirdo. You know that, right? That is not how we live. Like, remember how last year we had people saying, drawing a picture on a piece of paper or a drawing tablet is harder than going to a 9-to-5 where you might have to move concrete?
Oof.
Wow. Oof. Wow. The shit you must have been shoveling in your ass. The actual butt plug must have been so far up your ass to make you fucking think that. Good Lord. I was like, bruh.
Yeah, anybody that thinks that sitting at a desk working on a computer is harder than physical labor and like the possibility of injury, like, yeah. Dude, I worked for a newspaper. I was a pressman. You know, I've watched people's fingers get trapped between belts and explode like gag cigars. Oh. I've seen, yeah, flexographic plates just slice a finger off like it was nothing.
Mm.
You know, yeah. Dude, I'll take working at the computer.
Before all those presidential candidates dropped out, they were in Iowa. Like, there was a guy, it was a mailman, just delivering mail in the snow.
Oof.
And I told people, hey, you crying about fucking drawing a fucking sequential art on a piece of paper, go out and deliver mail in 40 degrees snow. Yeah, how about do that? Yeah. Tell me how hard you have it. Shut the fuck up. Y'all sound like actual retards. I'm not trying to say sequential art is easy or anything, or it's not hard to do, but it's just like, bro, like, artists are like actual weird people. I'm sorry. There's another one that I got into it with. I forgot his fucking name. Art didn't actually look that bad. It actually looked pretty good. But he's such a piece of shit. Like, you would never be on my show talking to me that way. What the fuck you think you are? Like, what the hell?
Internet bravery.
It was a guy where I'm pretty sure a lot of people would know his name. It's not knowing that. It's been on like shows. He's been on other people's threads where he basically said, he just sounded so bitter and jealous of like Friday Night Tights because they didn't promote like indie people. And it's like, I'm just being honest here. If your shit was actually good, someone would potentially promote him. I just say, hey, you sound like a bitter piece of shit, and that's the reason why people wouldn't want to be around you.
How dare you, sir? I am owed about promotion.
Like, just freaking so stupid.
Yeah. I definitely can see when you're putting a book out there and like one, like your book just gets freaking passed over and other books are like making gangbusters. It's, in my opinion, it's like being humble is kind of integral to keeping your sanity. Because if you get bitter and angry at other successes, like you said, nobody's going to want to be around that. Like, you know, if you're just like shitting all like, you know, I know there was a lot of arguments about, well, like, why aren't the big guys promoting the littler guys and all this stuff? And it's like, yeah, but who promoted them? You know, who promoted the big guys? Like, they got where they were, like
chicken or the egg, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I've never been on any of the super huge, like whatever, you know, like, and I don't. Like, they don't owe that to me. That's not my, you know, like,
I don't even know where that comes from. Oh, yeah. Also, like, most of these guys talk in a way as like, well, I do a comic book. What I'm doing is so good, and I'm changing the culture, even though no one buys my book, and I have to e-beg every fucking day on the internet. But your podcast is actually a piece of shit, and I actually don't like anything you say, and I think you're actually, I probably think you're a hypocrite. Can I come on your show and promote my book? This is why these guys are weird. I'm sorry. Like, guys, in real life, you said that to people. Just saying. I'm not saying you'd probably get beat up. That's a little too far. But you wouldn't have any friends. I'm just saying. Yeah. Like, this is so stupid. Half the shit they say, dude, is retarded. Like, okay, so you're creating a comic book. I think that's awesome. And it takes a lot of work. And I respect it. But let's not kind of like kid ourselves here and thinking like this is some sort of like thing where you're now more better than everyone else. It's like, it's not even creating a comic book, something that's on a piece of paper. Comic books I can literally go and buy off eBay, Amazon, Walmart. I can go into a local comic shop and buy shit at half the price for the most part, you know?
Yeah.
Like, as an indie, it's supposed to be a thing where like, oh, okay, I'm giving this guy my money. You know, I know this person, I'm just hiring him out. It's supposed to be that kind of like cool relationship you have. Some of these people are just like stupid. Like, why would someone promote you on their show when you've been shit talking them 24/7, 365 days a year, 7 days a week? Why would they promote your stuff? Why? Yeah.
Entitlement? I don't know.
And then, first of all, and half their arguments start off with your podcast is useless and it's not good or useful. All right. I guess we shouldn't be interacting. And if that's the case, people are just clout chasing. Maybe I'm just insane, man. Maybe that's the case, actually.
Yeah, there is that weird, like, that, you know, the internet brave, like, what was it, Mike Tyson that said that quote, you know, people have grown entirely comfortable with talking without getting punched in the face. Like, I live by that rule. Like, if I'm going to say something online, I would say it to their face because it's basic respect. Yeah. Like,
half these people that talk to you this way, like in some of these spaces, they would never say this in real life. I know they're not like that. Like, these motherfuckers are probably fat, ugly, can probably barely walk right. And they're not doing, literally, I promise you guys, they're not doing anything. Man, like, it's just so stupid. And that's the thing people realize is when it comes to a bigger content creators, like, let's just use FNT, for example. As you guys know, to be a full-time YouTuber, that means you have to take on all the expenses by yourself. And by all expenses, that means, like, just paying for editors, social media managers, or, you know, like, just in general, I don't know if, like, all the guys there are doing it for free on the shows, you know? I don't know if they're paying guests. I have no clue, so I can't really judge that specifically. But just keep in mind, paying for social media managers, editors, whoever you else you have on your payroll, paying your bills. Bills are not cheap, you know, property tax, credit card bills, food, electricity, water, gas, whatever expenses you might have, like clothes. I just kind of wear the same clothes constantly. I just wash them, but, you know, clothing. There's car notes. Right? Just saying, like, it's pretty, you know, disrespectful to ask someone, hey, can you just sacrifice your entire podcast that I know you have to make a living on to promote my little fucking indie comic book? You know? It's kind of like, dude, I'm not trying to be, like, homeless and eating, you know, fucking shit out of trash cans like radio. Like, I ain't trying to be like that, you know?
Yeah. But, well, that and, like, you know, when you have a YouTube channel like that, especially the bigger, like, you're looking out for, you know, will your audience be entertained by what you're showing? And if, you know, if that product isn't, like, in line with your market or with your audience, why would you want to, like, sacrifice your show just for a product that isn't going to benefit anything? Like, that, you know what I mean? It will hurt your people. Like, you'll lose viewers. You could literally watch the number just go, you know?
Yeah, and you got to factor in, if you have a big audience, not just anywhere, like, but Nerdrotic or Jeremy or all of them have, audience is not really, if the audience is not interested in that, that's going to hurt them more than you. Because this is why you can tell these guys don't have successful YouTube channels either, outside of, like, a few of them. It's because when an audience goes to a channel for something and they're not getting what that channel originally has, they leave. Mm-hmm. I know firsthand. I've had several YouTube channels, actually. Audiences go to YouTube channels for what they already know they're going to get, and they go to other channels for their other specific niches, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not getting it, they just leave. That's it. You know?
Yeah.
That's just how it is. And I just don't understand why, like, basically what needs to happen is, like, there's been a few people doing it. I've seen PopXNet Network does it with Nye Skyla. What he does, basically, there needs to be more of what he's doing, actually. Mm-hmm. There needs to be more people starting YouTube channels to put it into the algorithm for indie comic books. That's what needs to happen. Because if there's an algorithm for it, it'll tailor your specific interest to doing it, right? So that means you'll get channels like that will recommend it. There's a few other people that do it. I don't really like them that much. And Katie did technically does that, you know, but I don't really want to be that generous. But I, you know, she does promote people, so I really can't really be too mean to her. But you see what I'm saying? That's kind of what has to happen. Because you can't just take a random audience and expect like, hey, this is going to be the next thing. It's like, that's not really how that works, honestly, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That idea that like your one book or your small indie series is going to be the next Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or the next Crow or, you know.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's nice to dream, but yeah. Realistically, like, just
like your kid walks up to you and he's like, yeah, dad, can I fly? And I'm like, no, no, honey. No, sure. Yeah. Go jump off the bed, you know, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, I think a lot of people are more concerned with the success of others than they are of their own products, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, enjoy your own successes. Like if you get like five people that's, you know, that are really diehards, those people can become evangelists for your product, you know?
Like that's guaranteed money too.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. And it's about, you know, being happy with what you're doing. If your entire end goal is just to get internet famous and like have the mm-hmm. next greatest indie book, then you're setting yourself up for failure. Like mm-hmm. it's, what is it? A wise man strives for perfection his whole life. Only a fool expects to find it.
Yes. You know? Yeah. Uh-huh. I remember that. Yep.
Yeah.
Man, dude, so many people constantly are so invested in what other people are doing, they're not even getting their own shit done or polishing their own work because they actually just legitimately think their shit doesn't stink. And I'm like, okay, all right. And it also sounds like a lot of people just kind of want their projects to be artificially propped up mm-hmm. by mm-hmm. bigger channels so their numbers could be big. You know, and I get it. Campaigns are hard to do and getting money is hard for a project. I understand that. But and these same people would be like, well, why didn't no one come back for my second campaign? Because it was artificially propped up. It wasn't actually yep. anything like super, you know, genuine interest. It wasn't an organic thing, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Because with your first campaign, I know you did pretty well, actually. So yeah. With this one coming up, hopefully that can, you know, be a lot more better. What you had before, because a lot of people actually really, really love the art that I think you're the artist on the book, right? Or someone else?
The first book was done by Antonio Brandeo and
Elvis. Oh, okay. He did a good job. Yeah,
dude. And, like, I love their work. The second book, we actually got feedback. I sent out a survey after the first book was fulfilled. And got
it was trash.
Some people said that. Some people
really? No trash. Way. Yeah. Well, yeah, what about some of the Amazon reviews you had? Did you get any like actual reviews from them and not just like bot reviews?
Surprisingly, every Amazon review, knock on wood, has been very positive. I got like a 5-star rating on
That's
Amazon.
That's crazy. So okay. Awesome.
But like, yeah, the survey, 100% anonymous. You know, people are like, I didn't like this. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that. So mm-hmm. what I did was I contacted a second art team. So book two will actually have, you know how there's like variant covers?
Yes.
I'm going to have a variant book. So there's going to be the standard edition that's Antonio and Alzir from the first book, mm-hmm. you know, full color, whatever. And then there will be an alternative art team that will be doing the same exact story, just in a different book. So it'll mm-hmm. be their their artistic style, their vision of the story versus the original teams. And, you know, I'm going to set them up to basically compete with one another. And see which one, you know, gets backed more.
I was going to ask, is there anything you've learned from your first campaign that you will probably not be doing for your second one, actually?
Oh God, yeah. I think I did everything wrong.
Well, that's, there goes the neighborhood. Yeah, okay. You're basically saying, I was complete trash, and now I will not be trash.
Yeah, like I honestly don't know how I did as well as I did. I was pleasantly surprised and super grateful for everybody that backed. But like, I had people coming up to me and they're like, "Dude, you don't just drop it on Indiegogo and then be like, hey, back me." Like that's not how it works. Like you have to build up an audience and then direct them toward your campaign. And I had no idea about any of that. I actually put the goal flexible instead of fixed, which is a bad sign if you're a first-time creator, because flexible just basically means thanks for the money, chump. If it doesn't meet the goal, I'll just take the money and leave, you know. And I was like, oh, I don't want that, you know. So I had to put disclaimers on the page, and then it even got to the point where when I my initial asking goal was too high. And basically Indiegogo has this policy where they're like, yeah, once you set that goal, you're not going to change that once the campaign goes live. And I'm like, well, it's too high. Like, I'm never going to reach that, and it's going to get buried in the algorithms. So I had somebody actually help me out, and she's like, dude, just contact support, do this, and this. You can only do it once, but, you know, trust me, your product will be better for it. So I did, and I lowered the goal to a more attainable, realistic asking price, and I was able to get the book funded. And yeah, that made a huge difference. So I was definitely appreciative of that. And I jumped on a lot of shows. It was funny. I was on Sugar Chris. I don't know if you're familiar with him at all. He invited me on his show, and he's like, yeah, I'll see about asking some of my other friends if they can, you know, get you on your show too, just to get the word out, because your book has been, your campaign has been live for like 3 weeks and you have one backer. So
you had one backer in 3 weeks.
Yes.
How did you not get demoralized? What the hell?
Oh God. Yeah. Yeah. I was definitely in that.
You were like, oh, like, I fucking suck. I'm throwing in the towel. No more comics. Why am I trash? But I know those feelings too. Good Lord, man.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. I was listening to Linkin Park, you know.
Okay. That's how mine's to start being a huge Nickelback fan. You know, good Lord.
You said, look at this photograph. Ah! No. Yeah, I ended up getting on some other shows, and people are like, I remember, it was Rini Draws. She's like, you have 9 backers and your campaign's got like a week left. Wow. please back this. And from there, I noticed so there's some cool tools inside of the Indiegogo, like creator dashboard, where you can actually see a heat map of where people are coming from. And 90% of the backers for my first campaign were directly related to links followed from YouTube channels. So that shows you how valuable it is to get yourself out there and talk about your product, get people excited about it or not, you know. And it's a good canary in the coal mine too, because if you jump on channels and you're like, hey, check out my book, and you start seeing viewers drop, or people are like, this sucks. You know, it's like, okay, let's take notes. We got to fix this.
Yeah. Because I think what happens with a lot of campaigns is just marketing. I think that's the reason why a lot of them don't even just do as well. Because a lot of people say they don't do as well because people don't have enough money anymore. Guys, by that logic, why would campaigns be hitting, good Lord, why would campaigns be hitting like $2,000 then? If no one has any money spread out through all these campaigns, people have less money than they did. That's what I agree with. I don't think people have no money. People had no money, they would be spending nowhere near the amount they would be on Indiegogo campaigns. This is the last thing you'll be putting your money into is comic books. If you're fucking, you need food for your family, obviously. Not the thing that'd be the priority. I think marketing really, really sucks for people. And did you ever see that one YouTube short from Luke Stone where they were talking about comic book trailers, actually? I think, honestly, comic book movie trailers, the actual comic book trailers, I think those are just have always been bad. There's never been any good ones, really, honestly. There needs to be like an evolution of this stuff. Everyone just does like the same basic thing. Now we're seeing, you know, a little bit more people try to do what I said like last year, and I think early in that year, which was, how about just no more shirts, no more stickers? How about just give me the book? How about we just start there? Just start with books, actually. None of this t-shirt sticker bullshit. Maybe, bookmarks are cool, obviously. I like those sometimes. But, like, you know, start with the book, actually. There's just no way of evolving this stuff, dude. It's like all the trailers are just not interesting. Who actually even likes watching comic book trailers? I've not seen a good one ever, honestly, you know?
Yeah.
I think if they mix it in with some sort of like actual production value, I think that would make it a bit better. Maybe like have the artists on camera talk about it, then have the images kind of flash when they're talking over it a little bit. I think that might make them a little bit better. But just the average ones you see is just like, all right, like, does the trailer really actually convince people to buy a book, actually? I think the reason why people buy the book or back it is because they look at the campaign, they scroll down and see the art, and they go, I buy this. I don't think the trailer has any impact to that at all, really. You know,
Yeah, and it's weird too, because trailers are incredibly expensive to make, And it seems like the minimal bang for the buck. You know, it's like where you put a lot of your promotion money into, and it's one of the least viewed things, you know?
Oh, God, man. Yeah, even when people launch, like, trailers for, like, their written novel, just no real traction there, you know? Mm-hmm. I think there has to be some level of involvement when it comes to most of this stuff now, because it's just the same shit every single time, you know? Mm-hmm. What do I know? I'm just a good-looking, hot, rich, black guy in California. What do I know? you know, also got exposed this past week was today. We're talking about the new Transformers 1 trailer that ended up dropping. So basically, this is a prequel to the Bumblebee Rise of the Beast Transformers universe, actually. This is supposed to show the origin of Optimus Prime and Megatron and why they kind of started, you know, drifting apart and becoming, like, eternal enemies, as they would say. Whenever I heard this was announced a long time ago, they've announced this a long time ago. They announced this, like, in 2022 before this, like, Rise of the Beast came out last year. I thought it was just going to be just a straight animated movie like they had with their original one. Just something like that, like standard 2D animation, stuff like that, like, you know, 3D assets to it, you know, 3D aspects to it. I didn't know it was going to be like that. That just looks actually just like shit. Chris Hemsworth is voicing Optimus Prime. What? Maybe they couldn't pay Peter Cullen enough to do it. Peter, I have to factor in. They offered him over Chris Hemsworth first. We know they probably did. And he said no. And that must be straight up horse shit. He hasn't always voiced Optimus Prime. There's been some instances where he hasn't. But the fact that he's not going to voice Optimus Prime in a live action animated Transformer film is saying something too. Just like, all of it just looked really bad.
Well, that, and they didn't even apply, like, voice effects. So it just literally, like, if you close your eyes, it just sounded like a Seth Rogen comedy.
Like, right?
Like, what is this?
And, dude, most of the comments that I saw were like, oh, well, this is the first Transformer film without any humans. None of that matters if it's not good, you know? Well, it doesn't have any humans in it. It's like, all right. I don't even know how to even quantify that for brain logic that I have in my head. Like, what? So it doesn't have humans. Did you even watch? They didn't watch the trailer. There's no actual way they watched that trailer. There's no way. That trailer is hot dog doo-doo dog shit. That was probably one of the worst things I've seen in a while. It was an interesting. It made you. How would it make you care about some of those characters? It didn't even, like, go into, like, Optimus Prime and Megatron, like, even showing a little bit of, like, okay, is there a reason why these guys kind of like each other or may not like each other? I don't know, honestly. Yeah. And the last movie, Transformers Rise of the Beast, it didn't make that much money. It made, like, $423 million at the box office. I forgot the actual budget of the film was. I think the budget of the film was, like, $200 million. God, guys, that movie flopped pretty hard. The only reason why people didn't talk about it is because The Flash came out around the same time. And The Flash obviously was talked about way more. These movies have been making significantly less money ever since Bumblebee. Bumblebee was the lowest grossing at the time. Then you brought in Rise of the Beast, which is now currently the lowest one. This one ain't about to be no box office hit. I'm calling it. This is about to be some straight up trash.
Yeah.
Remember, the last one only made 423. Sorry, 439, actually. 439. It made 20 million less than Bumblebee.
Oof.
And this is... Fuck. We might be at the point now where the Transformer films are going to be in the same boat as, like, some of the MCU movies, superhero movies. These movies aren't making their money unless these movies have really good word of mouth. No one's going to go see them. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a complete flop. $200 million, $195 to $200 million budget. Marketing is probably like $60 million for these big blockbuster tentpoles. It's usually between $60 to $80 million. $439 million. I'm just saying, like, a lot of people are probably very mad they invested into that. Just saying, you know.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah.
They even reported it failed to break even. It was reported that it failed to break even.
So yeah, it's officially a bomb then. Yeah.
Oh, I knew it was going to be a bomb. I mean, like, the first – I saw Rise of the Beast in theaters. I went to go see it. I was like, this is just meh. It wasn't that it was, like, just truly awful. It wasn't even as bad as some of the really bad ones. It was just like – that's what sucks about some of these movies, man. It's sometimes they're not even just, like, bad. They're just, like, meh. Like, half-baked ideas, characters that are so shit. They're just so uninteresting. I don't know if you watched Rise of the Beast. Remember that black chick that was in there?
Yeah.
But just so bad. Who hired that person? She was just... she should have worked for Planet of the Apes. That movie.
Oh, damn!
But I'm just saying, man. It's horrible. What was she doing there? So bad. So like, go back to Michael Bay. Okay, let's not go crazy here. Obviously. Yeah. You know. But this is not any better. You know, we're at a point now where Transformers is not even bankable anymore. The fact that Transformers now has more goodwill in comic books compared to actual movies is ridiculous. You know, yeah. I've told people in my trailer reaction, I know you guys want to save money. I told them go to the League of Comic Thieves, go to the Transformers More Than Meets the Eye trade paperback coming out for their first six issues from the Skype on Image stuff. Comes out next month. Buy that. That'll probably give you more entertainment than that piece of shit.
Damn.
Yeah. I'm saying $20, six issues. You want to take the family to the movie theaters. If your kids want to read it, let them read it. That's way more better of a bang for your buck than going to watch that dog shit.
Yeah, it's a shame too, because I really loved, like, I look back on it, it hasn't aged well, but I remember Beast Wars. And I was like, oh, sweet, we're going to see this on the big screen. And then we saw it, and I was like, what the hell is this? And like you said, it wasn't absolute garbage, but at the same time, it was that gray, like, bleh. And yeah. That, to me, is worse, because if you don't have any strong feelings from a film, that's worse than having, like, a super negative or a super positive one.
Because the Beast, I forgot they were called the Maximals, all bad. Like, all useless. They shouldn't have been there. Like, Optimus I forgot the monkey, the black...
Optimus Primal.
Optimus Primal. That character could have had a little bit more time in the movie. Didn't have it. All the other Maximals just felt like they were just... By the time they got to the Maximals in the movie, they were just shoehorned in.
Yep.
That's it. They didn't really need to be there. You know, the action was really bad. At least with the Michael Bay ones, I can at least give him credit on that. At least the action was really, really good when you finally got to it. The action in this one was just really bad. Or non-existent. You know, they didn't have Scourge. They had Scourge instead of Megatron. And it's like, you're going to show Megatron in this origin movie, but you're not going to show Megatron in the Rise of the Beast movie, which is the newest franchise. And Scourge, I don't think, was terrible. But it was like, well, why is he here over Megatron? You know?
Yeah, I'm confused.
And you have a... What's the main true bad guy? Unicron, right? It's the main true bad guy for them. He's, like, kind of barely in the movie, too. It's just... Like, just bleh. Why? This is why does this exist? You know? And all we team up with G.I. Joe, man. That's gonna save him. No, it's not, guys.
No.
Both these franchises are, dude, we're about to be in a world where both these franchises are gonna be better in comic book form than movies. Well, G.I. Joe has never been good in movies. Those movies are ass. Those three, those ones are bad. But Transformers, comic books are probably better. Yep.
Well, I would say that out of all of the movies that have come out with Transformers, other than the cartoon from the 80s that pissed off all the kids when they killed off Prime, was like the first 5 minutes of that Bumblebee movie. Like, I was like, oh my God, this is accurate. You got Soundwave, you got you got all the jets. Like, this is sweet. And then the movie just turned into like some girl, like, teeny bop film. And like,
with John Cena.
Yeah.
Just because this is right, we were at that point in movie cinema where they were trying to push John Cena as a big movie star after his like career in pro wrestling, and I was like, huh, okay, I guess. What the fuck?
Yeah, I kind of lost interest in Cena when he apologized to China for calling.
Oh, I remember that one. Taiwan. Yeah.
Yeah, like, okay, yeah, we're out. Like,
for some reason, him and LeBron James had this weird relationship with China. Obviously, they were getting endorsed by China, for being honest here. Yep. No, it's only, that'd be the only reason why you'd apologize, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so corrupt, though. Like, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
Like, I watched the apology video, and I'm like, he, like, profusely apologizes, but never explains what he is apologizing for. He never said once, I'm sorry for calling the country.
Of course they don't. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, fucking hell. Fuck, dude. Do you remember how hypocritical so many people are? I had to remember this last night because it's popped in my brain. Remember when Scarlett Johansson was cast to play a transgendered person in a movie and everyone said she couldn't do it? Remember that?
Robin Tug.
Yeah. Aren't those guys all bigots? By that logic?
Yep.
don't they hate women?
Are you assuming my gender?
I remember Taj Hansen was barred and fired from almost about to play a transgendered person, which they didn't technically even real, in a movie. That actually happened. I actually remember that in my brain. I was like, wait a minute, these guys are just all hypocritical, mentally ill weirdos. Huh?
Yep.
Crazy, man.
Yeah, look what they're doing to J.K. Rowling now. I mean, that's a cancel crusade.
Good Lord. You'll have, like, media outlets, like, discussing film and, what's the other one? Hollywood Handle, One Take News. Like, they're supposed to be accounts, but all they are is just report the news. And they'll drop, like, movie trailers. When anything comes to, like, J.K. Rowling, they'll give their opinion. They'll be like, trans this and this. It's like, oh, my God. They'll be like, massive transphobe and Holocaust denier J.K. Rowling gets a TV series. Unfortunately, it's like, what the fuck?
Baby-eating Holocaust denier J.K. Rowling. Second coming of Antichrist, J.K. Rowling. Yeah.
What the heck?
Tiring. And the sad thing is like, she's pretty on the spectrum of politics. She's definitely up there in the far left. So it's fun watching them eat their own. Because it's like, the thing she said isn't exactly like, she's not being incendiary. She basically, this whole thing started because she's like, honey, you don't have ovaries. You don't have a womb. Like, you don't know what, it, like, abortion and, like, pregnancy and, like, all this stuff. Like, don't push that on actual women. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, she's losing. It's like, no, actually, she made a very, very valid point here, guys.
Yeah, like, all she said was basically she just believes that men are men and women are women. That's just enough for them to just go absolutely insane.
Yep.
And then they try to retcon history of like, oh, I really never liked Harry Potter, even though I bought all the books and merchandise and watched all the movies.
Quote it.
What?
Yeah.
What? Why does that always happen, man? Nowadays, if people, like, don't like someone for, like, a political reason, they'll just kind of retcon their entire career. It's like, they never liked them. Like, come on. Don't, it's not too bad. Come on.
Yeah.
God, it's so cringe.
how many bands, like, music-wise, would you suddenly, like, retro hate if you did, you know, if people did that? I'd be like, wow, almost every music I, like, listened to in my youth, I wouldn't have liked, quote-unquote, you know?
Yeah. Good Lord. It's just, like, one of those things where, good Lord, is how can people be so mentally ill to a point where a five-year-old could tell you what gender they are? They don't know what they want to eat. A five-year-old doesn't even know what they want to eat, what they want to do with their day, but they want to tell you what gender they are. It's like,
yeah.
And these people want to tell us they're not pedophiles. I'm sorry. Like, no. What's that word they call it? Map. Yeah. You're telling me these people aren't maps? They're so obsessed with, like, kids and gender. It's like, you're just weird. You're just an absolutely weird person. Like, well, what the fuck?
What it is they can't reproduce, and this is how you reproduce the next generation of these people. You can't do it naturally. You know, we already know biologically that's not how it works.
Yeah, no, yeah, we talked about that, I think, the last time you were on. They can't produce. People have to. They have to technically take your kids. They can't reproduce naturally.
Yeah, there you go. That's why they target kids, because they need to, you know, create the next generation of. Basically, it's abuse. It's just like child abuse. You know.
Yeah. The next generation of fags obviously has to get made. That's what we need. More fags in the world. Yeah, that's obviously contributing to everything. You know? Yeah. Good Lord. Oh, Nina Infinity put out a video. Who is the sex pest? Oh, I got to do a reaction to this.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Not right now, obviously. I'll do it later.
Man. Yeah, there's that... these articles written by these gay men flipping out over that video game Stellar Blade. Because it's got this hot Korean chick in it. And they're like, oh, this is, you know, ruining women, blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, you're gay. Why would any, like, person take what you're saying about attractive women seriously?
The actual lack of self-awareness is so beyond insane that a gay dude who self-proclaims, you know, if you're gay, trans is what I really have an issue with. If you're gay, whatever, at the end of the day. You know, you like sucking dick. You love giving love to the homies. Cool, I guess. But there ain't no way you're about to tell me what attractive women look like and you're a fucking fag. Really? Yeah. You like sucking dick. Stay in your lane. Suck all the cock you want. But they want to give you a direct opinion about all this women. This is not an attractive woman. What are we doing here? Curtis. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, oh god. Oh, so
I'll tell you.
So mentally ill.
Stellar Blade is going to make a shit ton of sales off of that sexy Korean model that they got as the...
Dude, you know what the most mentally ill argument of these people is? Like, oh my god, these gamers just want a girl that looks good they can fap to. No, what the fuck?
No, we like looking at good-looking things. Like,
who doesn't look so hard? Who doesn't like looking at good-looking, attractive women? Yeah. So that's the only reason why is to have good-looking women in anything. Is to so other people can fap to. That's just... Yes, well, they project like Lizzo on video games. In by that logic, then you know, like what the fuck?
Well,
you know, Lizzo's attractive. Shit.
Well, no, it's projection. I mean, these are the same people that were like pushing after the Lord of the Rings films came out that like, was it Frodo and Samwise or but you know they're gay or whatever.
But
it's like, yeah, like they can't fathom this idea that two men can be like really good friends. You know, like. Without having like some weird sexual tension. It's like, no, they're just good friends. Like Sam ends up getting a hot wife and getting like 20 kids out of her. Clearly he's not like a gay dude. Like, so yeah, it's all projection. Cause I think when it comes down to it, these people that are saying these things, they don't have real friends. Like they don't have like a real, like they're not tethered to reality.
Like, some of these guys aren't even, like, gamers either. These guys don't play games. Even if they did, the games that they played are probably some mobile game bullshit like Candy Crush or some shit. They ain't playing no actual games, you know?
Well, and these people
are like, have you seen when girls are like, they're like, why was there not a lot of girls in video games? It's like, because it's not really catered towards women? It's like, that's like saying, why don't a lot of men buy makeup? It's not tailored towards men?
So, yeah. Well, and now they flooded the game development industry with women, and they feminized all these games, and sales are down. Dude, I just saw that Take-Two Interactive laid off 580 people. So Grand Theft Auto 6 isn't even released yet, and they've already they forced all these people back into the office and then laid off 580 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so why? Like, what's going on? And I remember a couple of years ago, Take-Two had their COVID E3 thing where they're talking about diversity and inclusion and all this stuff. And it's like, do you realize Grand Theft Auto is a parody of, like, it's an offensive parody of modern Americana? Like, it's not supposed to be inclusive or, you know, positively representative. It's supposed to be hilariously, like, insulting. And, like, that's the whole point of it. Like, in the first game, you run over Elvis impersonators, you know? Like, and then in the third game, you beat the hell out of hookers and get your money back. Like, this is not a politically correct game. And I have concerns they're going to push that shit into GTA 6. And with the way that they're treating employees across game development, it shows that they've bloated the industry with these, like, I don't want to say parasites, but, like, you feminize things to the point where you don't have a bunch of nerds in, like, their garage making games anymore. Everything is about, like, how representative things are, or like how politically correct, and it's like, dude, you lost the plot. Like, that's not what games are. Games should be insulting, you know, get a reaction out of people.
Yeah, games are supposed to be, just in general by how they're made, inclusive and diverse, because they have, like, if a black person went to Walmart and bought a PS5 to start gaming, that's how games should be.
Yeah.
if a random white guy went in there and did it, it's if a bunch of friends, like a Mexican, a black, a Jew, an Asian group of friends got together and started playing Monopoly, that's inclusive. That's diverse. Yep. Gaming already is diverse by how it's made, just by how it exists, by how it is as a medium. It's already diverse. If anyone says you can't play X game or not be in X game, obviously don't listen to that. A lot of these women have those same stories too. These women are like, oh, but this one guy told me back when I was like 18, I couldn't do this. And I'm like, how do you even function in life if you let one person tell you you can't do anything then? Like, yeah. What? Fucking mouth-breathing retards, dude. Fucking hell.
Yeah. That and female game developers have been in the industries long before like I got into it. Like, hell, I got into it in the early mid-2000s. I left in 2014, and it's only gotten worse since. But, like, I look back on some of my inspirations for game developers. You got Amy Hennig, for example, who basically taught herself how to code, taught herself game design, worked her way all the way up to narrative direction to do like hits like the Legacy of Kain series, Uncharted. You know, they ended up booting her because of creative differences, because apparently she didn't like, you know, what happened to The Last of Us and all that stuff. And more power to her, you know? So it's not a woman inclusion thing. It's this weird feminized Marxist, like, castrating. I don't know, dude, but, like, I'm getting sick of it. Like, how the hell do you make the God of War, who's this, like, macho, you know, Christopher Judge, you know, into this, like defeated pussy? You know? I don't know. It's sad.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I don't understand why people have this weird thing against gamers. Like, you have people in the industry that'll be like, their whole skit is, I don't like white male gamers. And the other people that are also white males go like, oh, you can come and have a seat at our table. What the fuck? What the fuck? Why are people so fucking retarded? It just blows my mind.
Yeah.
Damn, it's like son of a weird bitch.
That the whole fear of like, mm-hmm. the, you know, like everybody wants to be in these like little herds or these like little flocks or whatever. And it's like, dude, just be yourself. If you're not accepted, then move on. Like, it isn't the end of the world. You're not everybody's cup of tea. Nobody is. But no, it's, oh yeah, white people are bad. I'm like, okay. Dude, I used to get that shit. You're a white supremacist and all that stuff. I'm like, really? So which side of me is the white supremacist? The Korean side or the Jewish side? Because last I checked, neither of those two guys were under Klan hoods. But, you know, that could be me.
Yeah. It's one of these fucking things where these people are just so incredibly racist that they actually think they're not. It's mind-blowing. Fucking hell, man.
Dude, Malcolm X was right. The most racist person in the world is a white liberal. You know? Like, they're super, like, so disingenuous, super, like, what is it? Racism by lower expectations or whatever?
Shit, don't tell them that, man. They'll have a fucking fit. Holy God. Fucking hell. You've also had some interesting, strong opinions about some political figures out there. You know, when there's some interesting political posts out there that get put out there and, you know, the Joe Biden sniffers are probably the worst, actually. I know you had a strong opinion about the whole, there was an MSNBC stat that got showed where women are preferred voting for Joe Biden more than Donald Trump. And I'm sitting there going like, yep, everyone's just basically said women shouldn't be allowed to vote. And I was like, okay. Honestly,
yeah. Well, for me, like, honestly, I think
that. Remind me a little bit. What happened?
Oh, sorry. I don't know if I might be roboting out.
Yeah, you're good now.
Okay. Yeah, my thing is like, I think you should have a responsibility when you are given the privilege. Like, men, when they turn 18, have to sign up for the draft. They have to sign up for a selective service or they're ineligible for government grants. They can't get any loans. They can't even rent a car, you know, and they can go to prison for not signing up for the selective service. Women, on the other hand, don't do that. But there's a whole reason why men can vote when they have to sign up for the service, which is voting has consequences. Like, if you vote terribly and suddenly you're like on the hook to get drafted into a war, you might want to rethink who you vote for next time. You know, that's a consequence of the vote. But we didn't do that for women. It was this weird, like, they got all the privileges and none of the responsibilities. And unfortunately, that's why we're seeing our cities are trash now. Like, we basically, women have married the state. You know, they got dads out of the homes. I'll tell you right now, man, you see a family with a dad in the house and suddenly things get real functional. You know, like, I'm not saying every dad is perfect or, you know, there aren't dysfunctional families that are intact. But when I was a kid, dude, like the whole broken home, AKA single mom thing, that was kind of not the norm. That wasn't like the cool thing. That was like, oh man, sorry. Like, that sucks. Like, do you see dad on weekends or like, where do you go? You know? And now it's like, dads are useless. Well, we're seeing what happens when generations of getting the dad out of the family, you know, like what it's done. And it's why we have such a really messed up society now. We have this, like, women can't teach men to be men because they don't know what it's like to be a man. They've never been held accountable. Like,
that's why all the single mother household dudes ended up becoming like prick feminist weirdos.
Yeah, another name for a male feminist is just the sexual predator.
Good Lord. This man just going in today.
I'm sorry, but like I've grown up around, you know, I was in the belly of the beast. I was, you know, I was in the Orange County down there, you know, I was in LA.
And I know how you feel. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. You see it. Like, it's like, what the hell are wrong with these? Like, they're like, oh, they're like, to your face, they say one thing, and then behind your back, they say something else. And it's like, they say, like, they're the most sexist people you'll ever meet, but yet you hear them championing, like, feminine or feminist causes, and it's like, clearly you don't believe the shit you're shoveling. Like, you know, you're the ones that are in domestic violence things. You're smacking around your girl, but, oh, yeah, girl power this. And it's like, you just beat the shit out of her, dude. Like, what the hell? Like,
good Lord. Yeah, I can't. Like, you know, when people say, oh, women shouldn't vote, that makes you so sexist. And it's like, I'm sorry, women are extremely emotional. And I don't think they make the best decisions when they're emotional. Just saying. Like, we had a thing, I think you saw it on X yesterday. Remember, there was the black lady who was on high on meth, and she smothered her kid to death.
Yeah, what the?
Remember that?
Yeah.
She got that emotional. She was high on meth. She killed her kid. And she didn't go to jail either. She was facing like 20 to 40 years.
No consequences.
She basically went on trial to be like, I killed my kid. I was high on meth. Judge is like, all right, cool. You can walk the streets now. Huh? House is not clown world.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, well, you see the school that where the students were walking out of class in protest because the school was fostering furries. Like, they put litter boxes in the boys' lab and stuff. Like, what the? Like, bring back bullies. They were a natural part of the ecosystem, clearly. Like,
God, man. Like, what the fuck happened? At least I will say this. The kids stood up for what they believed in, and they started making a stand. There's been a few groups of kids that has done it. I think that'll happen. I think that'll happen more, actually. Mm-hmm. I hope it does. Remember how we had the ones where the kids in Canada were not about that bullshit, and the person came and took their sign? And there was a few other groups of kids that have been standing. Oh, there was the kids that came in and they started doing the Pledge of Allegiance, and the teacher got so mad about it. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Or there was the kids that said there's only two genders. Oh, my God. There's some base kids out there, I'll say. Well, yeah.
Gives me hope, man. It gives me hope.
A little bit. Just a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's the problem, is the reason why nothing really significantly changes is because there's not, like, a bunch of people to say, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm not doing this anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's the reason why nothing changes. Things change when enough people go, no, fuck this. I'm done. I'm just not having this at all. I'm not going to get served up your shit sandwich.
Yeah. Or what about all these, like, quote-unquote protests that are happening now where they're, like, shutting down roadways and bridges and stuff? And it's like,
so
who is this for? Who is this for? Like, you're just pissing everyone off.
Yeah, like, these people just sit there in highway, like, oncoming traffic, and just sit there. And I'm sitting there going, like, it's no wonder some of these guys just haven't been killed yet.
Imagine that on the 405.
What happened?
I said, imagine somebody pulling that shit on the 405.
Fucking hell. No one's going to do that on the I-15. You will not have that on the I-15 in California. You will die. You will get absolutely just ransacked, murdered completely.
I kind of want to see it.
I do too, because the more we see it, that's the thing, is if nothing ends up happening to these people, then they keep doing it. Like, these people know that doing that means you could be stopping someone from seeing their sick relative, going and seeing someone before they die, family member, anything when it goes to situations like that. And they're just doing that for absolutely no reason. I have no idea what makes them do that. And that's the worst way to do it. Why can't they just do that standing up somewhere else?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that do it on the road where people are trying to get from point A to point B, or jobs? Well, oh, hell. Fuck.
Yeah, that was the best. The dude that was on, I think he was on probation or something, and he was trying to report into his probation officer. And no, he was on probation, but he just got a job, and he's like, I can't be late for my job because they will fire me. And he just like lost it and beat the shit out of these people. And I was just like, this is the most satisfying video I've ever seen.
I saw that. Yeah. The first, there was that one. There was the one that happened a few days ago where the guy just went in and just pulled them out.
Yep.
And good. These guys are a bunch of prick pussies. They ain't about to do jack shit. Literally go there and move them. I'm doing it. That'll happen to me. I'm doing it. I don't give a fuck. I'm going out there and I'm kicking one of them straight in the fucking dome. And we getting some hands thrown. Like, they're literally trying to ruin a bunch of people's lives, and they think they're the heroes. Nah, I'm good.
Well, I'm putting a cow catcher on my truck, but it's not like say I agreed with their thing. Like, say I was whatever they're protesting for. Say I agree with it. This just made me not agree with it anymore. You know, like. Well, that it's like you're not protesting. Your protest is not actually doing anything to the government or to the people, like the people that are making these decisions that could actually affect change. You're just doing it to the average American or the average European who has absolutely no, like, no matter what, they can't do anything about this. So all you're doing is just fucking with them.
Yeah, just purposefully ruining other people's lives just because.
Yep.
Because what does that do? What is stopping traffic supposed to really do? Like, yeah. I don't know what that's supposed to really be achieving, you know?
Mm. Yeah, it's to me, it's terrorism. It's domestic terrorism.
Just simply just fucking the biggest form of just trying to ruin people's lives is trying to stop them from getting to point A to point B, especially truckers, too. They have deliveries, so much stuff that I don't know who told them. I don't know who told them to start doing that, but that person needs to also be thrown in fucking jail. Like,
So
much crazy shit ends up happening. That's why I have to unfollow End Wokeness because there's just too much devastating stuff that I see every day on that account. That account will just give you depression, for being honest here.
I have to mute him from time to time because for that exact reason. I'm like, yeah, I don't really want to be depressed today. I got to mute him.
Yeah. Like, there are some days where I got to be like, yep, you got to get muted. I would love to end Wokeness, but not at the cost of my own sanity, if I'm being completely honest here.
At what cost?
Everything. Oh, shit. Yeah. Well, the last few things I'll ask is, what's the thing? Oh, did you see the Warhammer stuff?
Oh God, yeah, another property conquered by Marxism. Yeah,
yeah, trying to gaslight fans into believing some shit that never existed. Yep, we know this playbook. Actually, I never was even into Warhammer at all. But I will tell people, even though I'm not into a certain property that may or may not get like destroyed by what these people might do, I certainly feel for that too. It's like, do not let them do that. Do not let them tell you something happened where it literally has never happened. Where the people have to retroactively retcon lore, then it never happened. Exactly. Just saying, it never happened. You know? It wasn't like in Dragon Ball Z where Akira Toriyama retroactively changed Bardock's origin story with Goku, even though he already put it out in a specific way in the Dragon Ball manga. You know? Mm-hmm. He didn't say, well, now Bardock is a fucking chick and Goku's now a lesbian. Okay, that didn't happen. It's just, I guess you could say a different change of canon that way. That doesn't really technically retcon anything to like a worse degree, but that is just straight up gaslighting. That is just so fucking bad. What the hell?
I really wish I didn't see that PBS video from 1984 where it was an interview with ex-KGB propagandist Yuri Bezmenov. Mm-hmm. I really wish I never saw that, because Yuri Bezmenov basically back in 1984 broke down how communism invades, infects, and destroys a country through Marxism. They call it ideological subversion. And he literally, everything that he said in 1984 has come to pass. And he's like, when the U.S. goes, there's nowhere to defect to. And it's like, I wish I didn't see that. I wish I never put the They Live sunglasses on. Like, I would be like Keith David. I'd be beating the shit out of Roddy Piper. Be like, no, I'm not putting them on, man. I'm not putting them on. This is going to ruin my day. Because when I see what they do to Warhammer. I saw what they did to Masters of the Universe. You know, He-Man, for frick's sake. They turned him into a cuck. Kiva there, the most powerful She-Man in the universe. Like all these properties are gone, dude. Star Wars isn't even economically viable to Disney. They literally could not recoup their costs of buying it off of Lucasfilm. Like, that's how bad. Like, everything's
even
gone.
Just with something like that. Even just something like that. People factor in, they bought Star Wars for that amount of money. Mm-hmm. But, to factor in, a good amount of that was George Lucas getting shares in the actual company, not actual money exchanged in hand, you know? Lots of people love lying to you guys, unfortunately, and I'm here to just, you know, set the record straight, you know?
Wait, so it's all shares? So
no, some of it, no, some of it, 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 some of it, a lot of it was money, but a good amount of it was just getting massive shares in the company. So, like, you know, if the company does a lot better, then obviously if Star Wars makes a lot more money, then he would make a lot more money. But, you know, these people weren't exchanging actual cash and all that shit. Fucking hell. Lying pieces of shit.
I wonder if that means then that, like, if they're trying to do that to, like, you know, because, like, if they're basically selling this in share value, which is totally a legitimate thing to do, it's we succeed, you succeed, you know? Like, the better off we're doing, the better off you're going to make off
of this. I don't think he sided with Bob Iger and then because it was because he liked what they're doing with Star Wars. I think because he has so much of a financial investment in their company that he kind of has to have them be successful, you know?
Yep. Yeah, and they've been, like, the haven't exactly been, like, I think of the three films, I think A Force Awakens was the most successful, and it's just kind of been downhill from there. I could be wrong. But.
No, all three of those sequel movies made good money. It's just the only one that did make good money in Solo. Is Solo, yeah. But you got to factor in, those movies only made like $1 billion a piece and some change. I think they totaled to like, I forget how much money they totaled to. It's almost like $4 billion and some change. They bought Star Wars for $12 billion, actually. Oh, sorry. We say $5 billion max because it's Rogue One, you know? Mm-hmm. Like people say, what about the toy sales? Toy sales.
Yeah.
You think those toys are selling?
What the hell? Nobody's buying that shit. Yeah.
Nobody's buying That's that sad. Shit. Yeah. If the movies were good and people wanted to buy the merch, yeah, the toy sales would definitely make up for that. Mm-hmm. But they don't because no one buys that shit. So, yeah.
You want your roast last Tico figure?
Last few things I'll ask you, man, is got anything big planned for yourself coming up, actually?
Yeah, I mean, other than hopefully by August, kicking off my book 2 campaign and then going to the Granite State Comic Con in September. Mainly just plod my way and try to get this stuff, in a presentable format. Sending out some proof copies to people, getting it torn apart, and then trying to make the changes. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a full time job in addition to my other full time job.
And the last thing I'll ask you is, any shout outs you want to give to anyone in particular? Anything else you want to say before we head out?
Oh, hell yeah, man. Thanks. On Sundays I think it's 3 Eastern time is the Nerd Hangover with Jimmy Reyes. It's freaking have a blast on that. We fight a lot, which is funny. in addition to that, on Friday, tomorrow, I'll be on Phoenix Press's Friday Frenzy.
He's going to be doing another one of those like indie creator shows, actually.
Yeah.
Nerd Rhett Newsstand came by last time. I haven't heard about her in a long time, actually. I don't know what she's doing anymore. But she has her opinions about Eric and stuff. I was just spitting some good riz, you know. She was coming back, and I was like, okay, I got it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, Nick was like, don't go too far. I was like, I was a hot dude and I was rich. What? Are we that censored on YouTube now? I can't call myself rich and good looking. What the hell? Did you not see that? Did you see that earlier today where the Film Junkie had his channel just randomly terminated with no warnings or strikes at all?
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, Dave, the Film Junkie who's had Zack Snyder on his show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Had his channel just randomly terminated today. No strikes, nothing. Wow. Hope we got his channel back. Let me see if he got it back. No, it's just gone. No, it's just gone. It's just not here. That's fucking crazy.
That's scary. No notice, no nothing. Just
boop. Yeah, when it happened, he instantly just went to Twitter and said what was going on. And I was sitting here going like, fuck, that's crazy.
Can happen to anybody. That's, yeah.
That's why I told people, hey, dual upload on here and YouTube, just in case. Yep. If that ever happens, you don't just lose everything. At least you have the videos you did work on. They'll have less views, but at least you'll have your work attached, you know?
Yep. Yeah, that's definitely a good call. God, that's scary.
That's so crazy. Yeah, hopefully he got it back. Hopefully he gets it back, because that just fucking sucks. Well, thank you guys for coming out and watching this episode of the Iron Man podcast. Also, you know, thank you to, you know, Infinity Tale Chronicles for coming out for a second appearance. Can't wait to have out for a third appearance later on. And we will see you guys in the next episode. See you guys later.